Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Well, what the heck? You're here. We're here. Let's roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me, as always, is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but just because it's not one of those 2 days doesn't mean you shouldn't stop by there and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man 3.
Oh, good Lord. You know, normally I get the yawn out while the music is going on. It doesn't lead into the show, but I guess it wanted to wait for me today. All right, so here we go. Let's roll out Dan's players and pitchers of the week, even though I am totally unprepared because I knew we were going to do this and still didn't get myself set up. So, all right, Dan, as always, we start with the best National League hitter from last week, and you went with?
You say national or American?
I think I said national, but I meant American. We always start with the American. America. So, yeah, who's your American League hitter of the week? Sorry, I'm a little tired. I, you know, went back to work. I'm a little out of it. So, you know.
One of your guys, so you'll be excited about this one. You know, he didn't have 10 walks like Jose Ramirez did of Cleveland, but in 24 at-bats, he was batting 500 with 12 hits. He crossed the plate himself 8 times with 2 doubles and triples, 3 home runs with 8 RBIs, and only 2 walks. And that is your guy, Nelson Cruz, out of the DH.
You're a homer. You're a homer. I mean, oh, wait, no, I would be the homer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you looked at it, he was number one in batting average. I don't know if, what you looked up if their AL batter of the week was, but I just felt like Nelson Cruz definitely deserved it last week.
Yeah, you actually did agree with them. I heard their pick was Cruz as well. I don't know who won in the other awards, but I heard Cruz was the winner there. And yeah, you know, I mean, you look at it, I mean, with the exception of the fact that, like you mentioned, Ramirez drew 10 walks. I mean, you know, everything else points to Cruz. I know we're going to get, you know, the Yankee fans because Stanton had a really good week. But, you know, numerically, Cruz's numbers are better than Stanton's. And, you know, Stanton struck out almost twice as much as he did. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, and then, you know, the Red Sox fan can chime in and say you should have given the award to J.D. Martinez because he stole the base. but yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely thought that Cruz had a very good week.
Homer. But you know, moving over to the National League, I had to do a little digging, not too much, though, because once I saw his RBI numbers, that completely blew away the National League last week. And that would be Nolan Arenado. He played every game last week. He came to the plate 29 times, crossed the plate 7 times, 11 hits, 2 doubles, 5 home runs with 13 RBIs. He walked twice, but he didn't steal any bases. Sadly, with those 5 home runs, anytime I picked him, or I'm sure you picked him, in the home run derby thing, he didn't do it. So.
Actually, he did homer for me last week. So,
oh, lucky, yeah.
Yeah, I got one of the days I got one, it was Arenado who hit it. I, of course, you know, I don't get it out of Harper or Trout, but Arenado homered for me. So, yeah, now, you know, this is a little more of a, can't really say controversial, but it was an interesting pick because, you know, he had the big home run and the RBI numbers, but there were, you know, some other guys who had some, you know, some pretty good weeks. You know, Odubel Herrera had a really good week. You know, you throw Anthony Rendon in. I really just kind of assumed you were going to go with Javier Baez just because, you know, he's a Cub, but you did stay away from that. What kind of led you to Arenado here going down that route?
The home runs and the RBIs, he by far, you know. Otherwise, originally I was originally going to pick Jose Bautista.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was very solid as well. I was kind of humorous when I saw those numbers. I was like, whoa, wait, where did this happen? You know, or how did this happen? But yeah, I was like, hey, all right.
Can you imagine if Bautista actually started all seven games and continued on the kind of the route he was on? I think he would have hands down defeated that. The one thing I liked about Bautista is I think, you know, I don't remember him in the past, but I feel like he was a bigger strikeout guy. And to see those 10 walks, I think is pretty amazing.
I don't remember him being that disciplined of a hitter. Maybe it's you know, something I missed down the road or something, but yeah, I was just kind of like,
I could be off because walks don't count as a bat, so that would be 23 at bat, right?
Yeah, so
or that sacrifice, I don't remember anymore, I'm getting old.
No, walks don't count as a bat. You're okay.
Yeah,
there.
Okay.
No. You know, the tough part is I have to make sure I can, you know, for whatever reason, I have the worst time spelling Arenado's last name just because I want to add a double R, and I know it's not there, but I still want to put it in, so.
Yeah, I feel like there should be two R's.
So, all right, well, we move over to the AL pitcher of the week, and you went with who?
The 2-0 starter for the week, and no, it's not Yarbrough or Trevino, because they're not starters, or Colin McHugh, but that would be Trevor Bauer, you know, 13 and a third innings. He only gave up 8 hits, but he only gave up 1 earned run and walked 4, but the biggest number of them all, next to Jose Berrios, was the 19 strikeouts. I mean, him and Berrios were pretty much identical, except, you know, he had one more strikeout and less walk. So he didn't give up the home run. So that's how he went over on Berrios.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's a solid pick. I mean, obviously Chris Sale had the really good week, but he only won one of the two starts he made. So, you know, I could see that. I didn't realize Carlos Rodon had the most innings pitched out of anybody at 14 and a third. I guess that's good for White Sox fans to see him kind of bouncing back. And I know he pitched pretty well yesterday. So, you know, we'll have to see if that's something there. But, yeah, all right. Well, we will we'll jump into the NL because you finally went a different route here. So I'm interested to know what possessed you to do this. So.
Well, you know, to be honest, while I was looking through all the starting pitching, I was pretty disappointed with what I was looking at. And then all of a sudden, you popped in my head and said, you know, you don't have to pick the starting pitcher. So I flipped it around, see how many saves there were available. And, you know, I figured 3 was solid, 3 for 3 for 3 innings, and 1 hit and 2 strikeouts. Went to Rafael Iglesias, Cincinnati. You know, one of the biggest reasons I kind of leaned on him was they had that huge sweep of the Cubs this weekend. And I didn't really look to see if he got 3 out of 3 against the Cubs, but I'm assuming he was a big, you know, a part of that. So, you know, sorry, Sean Doolittle, you shouldn't give up that home run.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering, how you you chose between those guys. So, and yeah, I don't know if you got them all again. I was wondering the same thing.
No.
So.
Yeah, but like we discussed earlier, or not earlier today, but earlier in the podcast, if you can find it, we'll definitely have to incorporate reliever of the week next year.
Yeah, you know, we'll come up with their own, you know, their own little category and make you just give Dan more work to do.
Just be glad it's not Mr. Fantasy.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I did a double take right here, right now. Iglesias had a save against Detroit on the 20th, against the Cubs on the 22nd and the 24th. And he did not give up a run against the Cubs. So, you know, I don't know how much of the series you caught this weekend. But, you know, with their sweep of the Cubs, I was expecting to wake up and see some articles about how the Reds are for real. So I didn't know if you were still working on that one, or if you saw a reporter. That,
no, I'm not working on it at all. So.
Yeah, you didn't see a report by somebody that, you know, the Reds are going to take the division now? Or...
Yeah, no, surprisingly, you know, it was weird because, you know, the Cubs, obviously we know the Cubs got swept by the Reds, and the Yankees also got swept by the Rays this weekend. But neither team, you know, they're not making much noise about either team that won the games. It's more talk about, you know, the teams that lose. So that's been the, you know, the big talk, obviously, is, you know, what's wrong with the Cubs and what's wrong with the Yankees and, you know, all this stuff, even though it, you know, it is just June and we're not even halfway through the season yet. So.
Yeah. And, you know, sadly, I wish we were going down to South Bend today because I believe Yu Darvish is making his rehab start down there today.
Yes, yes, he is. I saw they tweeted out the lineup, and he is the listed starting pitcher. So we'll have to see how he does, and how much if he makes another start, or if he's going to come right back, after that one. So, I did hear that when he returns, it's being reported, you know, Mark Gonzalez is the writer for the Cubs, and he's reporting that they will use a six-man rotation because they have a stretch of 12 games in 11 days. So they are going to go that route.
Hmm. Why not just do a seven-man rotation? But, you know, like we mentioned, Yu Darvish is down there tonight. And I don't know why I say it in his place, but when we started this podcast many moons ago, you know, we broke down the top draft picks. I don't remember how we did it exactly, but I think we went team by team. And, of course, the team I had were the Cubs. And in the 2012 draft, they picked up Dwayne Underwood. So you and I have kind of,
yes,
mentioned his name here and there over the last 6 years or so. I mean, what are you expecting tonight? Are you really expecting much? Are you expecting like that one poor kid who came up, you know, who came from Iowa with an 8 ERA and just kind of got rocked in an inning and a third? Or are you expecting him to at least go 4 innings tonight?
It's interesting because this brings me to the Stu Dan challenge. I don't know if you got the email. I shipped it off to you earlier.
The
first question is, will Dwayne Underwood pitch more than 4 2/3 innings tonight? So you have to answer first, and then I will tell you what Stu said, and I will gladly give you my opinion. So what do you have him do? All right. Stu actually joined you in that. Not only did he say no, he made sure to put it in bold letters and capitalize it when he sent it to me in the email. So he definitely was not thrilled. Yeah, I did notice, you know, Underwood's got a pretty high ERA for AAA, not as bad as the Korean pitcher they brought up. What was that, Jen Tsang, and I'm going to draw a blank on what his last name is, and he just had a ridiculously bad outing when they brought him up. You know, you got to wonder, sooner or later, I mean, the Cubs just got to kind of luck into a pitcher, and you know, maybe Underwood is the guy. You know, I've seen a lot of positive stuff on him from scouts that are outside of the Cubs organization. I mean, obviously the Cubs aren't going to say anything bad about him. But man, you know, I mean, you know, I think in a perfect world, he could give them six tonight and they would jump up and down because they need it. That bullpen is a wreck. So, you know, we'll have to see if he can do it. But yeah, you know, and then of course, you know, the big negative here that works against these guys is, you know, sooner or later, and I don't know when somebody else besides I'm going to point it out to you and you're going to say, oh yeah, right. How long before somebody else realizes that Joe Maddon just has zero idea on how to handle a pitching staff? So, like even yesterday, yesterday was so weird. They have this monster lead and, you know, Pedro Strop comes in and he doesn't look good right from the start. And it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe you give him a or whatever. And then, you know, I know your bullpen is taxed, but you got to get him out of there. And in reality, Maddon cost the Cubs the game yesterday by leaving Strop out there to get shelled. You know, and I mean, this is two games in what, the past week that I think Maddon has lost the Cubs. And you just can't continue to have this happen with your manager. And I mean, I know they're not going to fire him because he's looked at as, you know, a god because he won a World Series and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But man, it was just a horrible managerial decision yesterday. And I was watching the game going, Why is he still in? You know, how much longer are we going to leave him in? You know, are we going to let them tie the game before we take him out, or are we going to get him out of there? And, you know, I mean, he gave the game away. And, I mean, you know, what I always laugh about, and maybe you can explain this one to me really quickly. You know, managers always complain that their bullpen is overworked. Aren't they the guys that overwork them? So why are they complaining?
Well, because it's the hitting coach's fault.
Yeah, so, you know, but that does bring, I had a bonus question for the Stu Dan challenge today because I was afraid that you guys might possibly pick the same way, and you both did. You don't see Underwood going more than 4 2/3. So the second follow-up question is, how many runs will the Cubs bullpen give up tonight? Obviously, it's a difficult question, but whoever gets the closest will be rewarded the point, I guess, so to speak. So do you have a number of runs for the Cubs bullpen tonight in your head?
4.
Did you look at Stu's email? Because that's exactly what he picked. So why are you so high? That's a lot of runs for the bullpen to give up. Are you just basing this off past performance or –
I mean, how do you define past? You know, the past week before?
Yeah. Well, the past couple of days. You know, however you want to look at it, whatever you look at as past performance. You know, the year, the week, the month, couple of weeks. You know, however you go about it.
Pretty much.
Yesterday, you know.
Knowing that.
You cut out there. I didn't hear what you said.
You know, the past performance over the last week, but knowing that they're going to be out there the whole night, I think it's inevitable.
All right. So we will see how this works out for tomorrow. And, you know, luckily with Cubs on the West Coast, I can, get more stuff in for the week. It's always tough when they have the afternoon games. So we'll have to see if we can sneak some stuff up on you guys. So we shall see. But now I don't know if you caught this highlight yesterday, but did you see I guess technically he's your guy. I believe you have him on one of your fantasy teams. Did you see your guy Clint Frazier hit the speaker in Tampa Bay yesterday?
No, I missed that one. I think I did start him.
Yeah, when he hit the ball, it looked like a home run. And I was like, oh, okay, he just gave the Yankees the lead. It hits the speaker, and Aiden Echeverria actually catches it, so it's an out. You know, it counts as an out with the way the ground rules are there. And I thought you'd get a kick out of this one. Humorously, the Rays Twitter account, the Tampa Bay Rays Twitter account, went on and tweeted Frazier a bill for repair of the speaker. I thought
sure
that was kind of humorous.
I'm sure that's all in good fun, but what's the probability that they actually do, send a bill to the Yankees, because Oakland A's minor league, an Oakland A's player last year ran into some box and busted his knee that put him out, and he, filed like a claim against the White Sox.
That was Dustin Fowler, I think. Oh, no, he was with the Yankees when he did that. I don't know who the A was. So, yeah,
that was
Dustin Fowler who got hurt. Yeah, so it was like his first major league game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I was probably thinking A's because I was there this week Friday, and he was there.
Well, and now they traded him to the A's while he was injured. So yeah, you got to see him play on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and go figure. I get up to go get something to drink, and it was a pretty quiet game. And first game of the doubleheader, I went to go get a free hat, free drink, and while I'm in the process of doing that, the number 9 hitter, Barreto, forgot what position he played, third base, there they go, I hit the grand slam.
Yeah. Now, was that the game he hit 2 home runs in? Was that game 1?
Yeah. Yeah, game 1. He did it. Forget which inning he hit the second one in. But I think it was another like 4-run inning. So, I mean, it was pretty cool. And then I would like to call him the closing pitcher, but, he wasn't the closer technically as he didn't get the save. But John Lucas, as he was walking back to the dugout, threw me the ball, the game ball. So, hey, there you go.
Oh, damn.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, that's never gotten a ball at a game before from anybody.
Yeah, neither have I.
Didn't
I mean,
you get
well,
one? Did you get one from, was it?
Liriano, sympathy ball.
Yeah, after Andrew McCutchen hit you?
Yeah, pretty. So, yeah, I'll always get my sympathy ball,
So you've gotten 2, that's Dan 2 and me none. And then you did get a ball in the mail from the South Bend Cubs, so.
Yep. Yeah, but
so that's game 3.
So I was a little disappointed.
Chris, what?
I said Chris didn't sign it though, so I was a little disappointed.
Oh no. Well, we'll have to talk to him about that next time he's on here, and be like, hey, what happened? So.
Yeah.
But overall, how was the experience? Now you were there last year. Has anything changed since you were at the rate?
No, not really. I mean, they definitely are pulling out all the stops to get their fans behind them, I guess you could say. But I think compared to last year, the draw has gone down considerably. So much so that when I got there, I was supposed to be sitting up top in the 500s, and there was a sign by the ramp that the 500 section was closed.
Ooh.
So, and I was told to go to a certain section on the sign and go speak to whomever about your tickets. And the lady just told me to sit wherever I wanted, except for the suites. And then if someone there comes over there with a ticket, that I needed to move. So, you know, I mean, it was pretty cool. And in game one, Sean Manea was pitching. And I actually was walking in the stadium. And little did I know, I was walking in with his, like, wife or girlfriend and his mother. So I actually, you know, if I wasn't wearing my Ricky Henderson shirt, maybe I would have fit in better. But I went and sat with Manea's family. There was at least like 40, 50 people there. But, you know, once he was pitching, they all had their cell phones out and were just recording him. So, I thought it was pretty cool. And everyone's like, well, how did you know it was his family? I go, because the minute the game was done, they all left. Well, that and they all had Sean Manea shirts on, so kind of a giveaway.
It's always a little bit of a tip when they're wearing the jersey. You know, when all of them have the jersey, it's
I don't know. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, did you? I know you said you got up at any point in time. Did you try any food? Because, you know, they rave about the food there. It's supposed to be some of the best ballpark food in baseball. Did you guys eat anything? You or anybody you went with?
No. We ended up getting the ice cream. You know, that's the hard thing for me. And yeah, I know, it was for my daughter. The harder thing for me, and I know this is how you feel about it too, is everything is just so damn expensive.
Yeah.
You know, a piece of pizza was $6.75.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. You have to remember, let's look to frugal as a proper term to clarify what I am. And yeah, when I get to those things, it drives me nuts that it's. And I'm like, damn it, why is it so expensive?
Well, and my wife wanted to try this nacho thing or these tacos, but then she said she remembered the last time we went to a game and it was all toppings and no nachos, so she didn't want to you know, not only waste the money, but, you know, still be hungry. So we got the cheapest thing on the menu, the $4.50 hot dog, and you know, went to McDonald's afterwards.
Which is also pretty pricey now compared to how it used to be. So, you know.
Yeah, but for the price of both of us for McDonald's that night, you know, that would have been one thing, you know, because I was even looking at, like, the hamburgers and all this other stuff, but nothing, you know, it was $10.50 for a hamburger, but it didn't come with anything. You know, not even lettuce, tomato, or any of that stuff. It was just a hamburger for $10.50.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the one drawback about, you know, going to, not, you know, not only the ticket's expensive, kind of everything else that goes along with it is pretty pricey. You know, it can be a pain. But now, did you, you know, I can say now, you know, obviously I haven't talked to you since Thursday. I can honestly tell you that I did not homer Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. How did you do in Home Run Derby?
I didn't win any money, and I don't think I won or got any hits. You know, didn't pick my guys, but, you know, it's so hard. I mean, how can you really define who's going to hit home runs?
Well, obviously somebody is because they're winning. But now, have you received the big deposit FanDuel was saying they were going to make in certain accounts, anywhere from what was it, like $100 to, I think I even saw up to $5,000?
For doing what? Just random?
They're just, just random. They were just going to randomly put money in people's accounts. I'm assuming it's going to be like that one time they put, I forgot how much money they put in my account, but it was, I had to use it by a certain time.
Oh.
You know, and if I didn't use it by a certain time, I just lost it. So.
No, I think you play a lot more than I do, so I think that's why you got it. But I'll definitely be on the lookout. I mean, I would just like them to put the matching deposit in that I put in 4 years ago. I still haven't gotten the complete deposit.
Yeah, it, you know, again, that's one of those things. Takes quite a while to get that back.
Yeah.
You know, because you get it in pieces instead of just a, you know, a lump sum match. But I had a solid day yesterday with the lineup Mr. Fantasy and I put together, and I was telling him, I had one of those weeks where I was just missing out on money. Like Saturday, I missed out money by 1 point. And like with yesterday's lineup we put out while we were doing the podcast, I ended up missing money by 5 points. I just can't seem to get over that hump. So I shook it up a little today. I read that there were 3 must-have guys you just had to have in your lineup tonight. So I put them all in my lineup, and they were quite expensive. So I went hunting around for value after that. So this is what I ended up with. I got Justin Verlander as my pitcher, 11,700. Cody Freeman is my catcher, first baseman, 4,700. He's hitting third for the Braves tonight. I got Jose Perella of the Padres at second, costing $2,300. He's hitting fifth for them. Alan Moran of the Pirates is my third baseman. He's hitting cleanup for them, cost me $2,500. Since I had to be on a budget, I actually have 3 Padres in my lineup. Buddy Galvis is my next Padre. He's hitting seventh for them, cost $2,200. My outfield starts with Aaron Judge, opposed to the Yankees. He did second, cost me $4,500. My third Padre is Hunter Renfro. He's hitting third, cost me $2,300. My outfield wraps up with Jerry Dyson of the Diamondbacks. He's hitting seventh for them, cost me $2,300. And then my utility guy is Nick Williams of the Phillies, also cost me $2,200. He's hitting fifth for them. It's Verlander is my pitcher. I got Freeman at first, Perella at second, Moran at third, Galvis at short. My outfield is Judge, Renfro, and Dyson, and my utility guy is Nick Williams. A couple minutes before this contest starts, but obviously there's late swaps and everything. And then I forgot to ask you who you had for home run day tonight. Did you put your guys in?
Yeah, I was 2, 3, and 4. That's Ramirez, Cruz, and Harper.
So, yeah, now, obviously, you know, Mike Trout wasn't available because he's playing right now. So I have Bryce Harper. You know, if they're available, they're going to be in my lineup. And it is I'm up to shortstop week now. Harper with shortstops. I decided to go with Manny Machado and Yankovic Solarte as my other two shortstops. So we'll see how that works out for me, but there you go. Hopefully I can get back on track and pick up some money.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I steered away from Machado.
Yes, that would have been bad. You know how that goes when we select the same guy. It's the death of him. So, yeah, you know, we'll have to see how it goes, but hopefully I can have a good night, pick up a couple bucks. You know, like I said, I've been close. I just can't seem to get myself over the hump, so to speak. And you know, hopefully this will be the day I manage to land it. So we'll see how it goes. But we talked a little bit about it earlier. How, what's, as a Cub fan, what is your panic level? Because as you can guess, Scoop is off the chart. He's at DEFCON. Well, I think actually one is the worst, but he's at whatever the worst DEF CON level could be.
In the middle. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to count them out. You know, they have all the, they, on paper, have all the talent that they should, but none of them are playing to the level that they're supposed to. And then you've got everyone banking on the fact that Joe Madden's teams always perform better in the second half. So I'll let you kind of roll with that till I get back.
So, yeah, you know, that definitely is, you know, the things I've heard, obviously. I guess the concern is, you know, I mean, as of right now, you know, Milwaukee doesn't look like they're going away. Are you concerned if they add a guy? I mean, if they go out and add a starter, which I think they need to do, are you concerned that, you know, the Cubs are looking at a have to, you know, glom onto a wild card spot and hope to win a game to get in? You know, and, you know, obviously it's a lot of speculation considering really the Cubs are just two games out of first place. You know, a lot of the talk you hear, you would think they're 14 games out like the Rays are in the American League East. So it's not a huge, huge thing. You know, they kind of hit a rough stretch. I mean, Cincinnati was playing good baseball coming into the series. They had won three straight. And, you know, maybe it was just they ran into a hot team. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again this year. The Cubs offense will sometimes go to sleep for whatever reason. And, you know, with the exception of yesterday's game, they were really sleeping in a good hitter's park. And, you know, I think that's why I think yesterday was a game that they needed to win. And, you know, again, that was, you know, that's all on Joe Madden. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, I think anybody who saw the game realized Stroop didn't have good stuff. And I know he hadn't pitched in a while and you wanted to get him work, but you don't get a guy work and cost your team a game at the same time. If you wanted to get him work, the game before that was a blowout. Instead of running Chris Jimenez out there, throw Stroop out there for an inning and let him get an inning of work. So, you know, there are definitely ways to bounce back and get around that. And he chose not to do it. Now, Dan, do you know, is it a three gamer with the Dodgers or a four gamer? Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe it's just a three gamer.
Okay. So, yeah. And now do they, you know, in the Dodgers, did you see they hit 7 home runs yesterday?
Yeah. That's,
so it just kind of,
you know, June, July is a big month for them.
Yeah. It's, you know, just kind of keeps getting worse for the Mets. You know, they just can't catch a break. And, you know, I'm guessing at this point they might as well just blow the team up like everybody wants them to do. And, you know, maybe they'll have better luck starting over. So, because yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know what their other options are right now. You know, it's clear whatever they're doing isn't working. So maybe it's time to just go a different way and see what they can work out. Actually, it is a four gamer. They do have a game scheduled here on Thursday. So it looks like it's four games before they come home to host the Twins. So, we'll have to see. And now, you know, Stu's going to the game on Saturday with his son for the first time in, I don't know how long, but yeah, he's actually going to a Cub game.
Oh, he's like Mr. Fantasy. He didn't invite me.
No, I think it was his son kind of surprised him with the tickets. So, but you know, Stu, of course, being Stu, he was upset because I think the tickets were wherever they're sitting. I think it cost him $85. So he was unhappy that he paid the ticket. just kind of like, hey, you know, you're not paying for them, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just mid-level. That's not even, you're not even getting good, well, you're still getting good seats, but you're not even, you know.
So, yeah, you know, that's just kind of, you know, the way, you know, I mean, we're just talking about that. That's just kind of the way it is now, right? You got to kind of, just got to kind of deal with that stuff. I'm realizing now over the weekend, I went to look at my team and I have two more guys on the DL. I was like, damn it. Why do my guys keep ending up on the DL? What am I doing to these guys? So.
Yeah, well, I won both leagues, and I'm in 11th place. I think I actually went down a place in the one league after winning.
Yeah, I got my head kicked in the one league. I got beat 20-2. So,
ooh.
I just couldn't. You know, the injuries just keep piling up on me. I just can't get anything going. So, you know, I have to just gotta kind of shake it off and find the right mix of guys, and hopefully it works out for me. But we'll see. Just kind of, you know. It's too early to panic, even in fantasy. I mean, it is just June. So I'm just kind of making sure my lineups are set and hoping my guys hit and all that other fun stuff. So we shall see. But yeah, these injuries are just ridiculously bad for me this year. And I don't know if it's the 10-day DL or whatever they're doing, but man, it just seems like I've always got guys going on the DL.
Well, you know, this is the first year I've had guys go on the DL. When I take them off, I don't have to drop anybody because I'm just replacing that guy with another guy who's on the DL.
Yeah, I actually had to drop one of my relievers on the DL so I could put a starter on the DL so I could go pick up another starter, because obviously I need innings in our league, you know, because being, you know, you have to make a certain amount of innings. I don't want to screw that up, so I need the starter more than I need the reliever. It's just like, you know, just kind of how it's going to go. And then it was funny. I got a reliever back. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I got a guy back. I took him off the DL. I made the swap. No big deal. He came out and pitched once and went back on the DL. I was like, oh, God. Like, what? Going on with me this year? just help me.
Steven Souza Jr.
Yeah, that's right. What did you have him back for? Like, you know, he was back for what, a couple games or something, and then that was it?
Well, you know, I didn't know he was back, so I missed a start or two. And then I put him, you know, I got him off the DL. And then almost immediately he went back on the next day.
Yeah, it's just, you know, again, it's just one of those years. You know, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go again. That's like every time I look or, you know, I see a highlight or something, one of my guys is going on the DL. It's like, what, you know, what's going on this year? But,
you know, speaking of highlights, I don't know if I know you like to use the computer, the physical computer, to do your lineups and all that stuff for Yahoo Fantasy. I don't know if you have downloaded the apps on your tablet or your phone, because now Yahoo's added this actually pretty cool option. It's not even an option. It's another thing to the – basically, when you pull up your lineup, you know, and you go to change it or just look at your scores or whatever, at the top of the screen, right above where your players start, they actually have a picture of all your players, and you click on it, and it shows you their latest highlights.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you picked up on that, but you know, basically Odubel Herrera has been on there basically every day. I thought it was pretty cool, and they do it different than Major League Baseball does their highlights. So like, you even get a little bit more out of the pitchers. You get more of their outing, so to speak. Well, you know, obviously you're not going to get the bad pitches, you know, the walks and the home runs, but I thought that was a pretty cool option that they threw in there. You'll have to go and check that out.
Yeah, I do have it on the tablet. I don't have this phone is new. I don't have Diddly Squad on this phone yet. So, but yeah, it's on the tablet. I'll have to look and see. You know, just one of those, one of those interesting things. Hey, at least they're, trying to update, right? So,
yeah.
Now I did want to ask you here. I don't know if you saw this statement come out, but LeBron has now come out and said if he does decide to opt out of his deal, because technically, you know, he's got till Friday to decide. If he does decide to opt out, he says he doesn't want the recruiting circus that went on last time. Do you believe that?
To me, what that says is I already know where I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you don't want a recruiting circuit, so, you know, you don't want teams to tell you why you should play for them. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Not only that,
while his agent is the one obviously setting up these interviews and whatnot, he does realize that he's the one who's in control of whether he goes or not, right?
I don't know. Maybe he's confused.
You know, because, I mean, you're only contractually obligated to your team that you're playing for. So if you're not going to play for that team, you're not contractually obligated to visit, say, the Warriors, Lakers, Rockets, Sixers, Celtics, all 30, 29 other teams. So, to me, that just basically says he knows where he wants to go. And we just have to wait and see. Now, is that going to be all summer? Hey, you know, how long will that last?
Yeah, that's a good question. What's weird is I think if he doesn't want this to happen, when Friday comes out, just want everybody to be going.
Yeah. Or, you know, even that, you know, we mentioned that before he wants to, you know, at least play with one of his boys. And, you know, most likely win a title. I mean, you know, he has to wait. He can't announce where he wants to go immediately because a team like Houston has to, you know, make their moves to free up space for him. I don't know what Oklahoma would have to do, but I think it would be pretty cool to, I think playing with Melo is just kind of oh, that's pretty cool. I get to do that. But LeBron James and Russell Westbrook, you got to wonder if they could be the duo that's able to, unseat the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, it would be. I don't see Oklahoma, but...
No, I don't do that either.
But yeah, you know, that's, you know, like, I, you know, I, you know, that could cut down a lot of the circus, as he likes to call it. You know, obviously come out and say, hey, I'm planning on doing this. You know, I just got to work out the contract details with them. Here you go. Okay. You're happy. You guys leave me alone.
That big ego doesn't want to continue to fill that ego.
Right. Well, then don't you think in a way the NBA likes this because it keeps them in the news during the off season?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure they want him to stretch it out as long as possible. So, you know, you can be like, well, hey, you know, look, we can talk about this. You know, it's going to be at the top of every news cycle on every, you know, non-specific sports channel there is. And, you know, I'm sure even some of the ones, you know, I'm sure, you know, the NFL Network and the MLB Network will find ways to work it in as well. So.
Well, and, you know, if he doesn't want to go on the recruitment circuit, I mean, honestly, all he has to do is to really get people talking is, instead of doing a big boys trip, he needs to just do maybe more of a single trip. You know, meet Melo in Barbados, you know, Chris Paul in San Pedro or something. You know, instead of meeting all the guys at once, meet them all in separate little mini vacations.
Yeah, now, you know, I brought Melo up a couple times. You know, I thought this was really kind of stupid on a lot of people's part. I heard a lot of people saying that they were surprised when he opted into his contract. Now, you know, Dan, obviously, you know, Melo is a rich man. He probably has more money than you and I will ever see. His payday for this year, Dan, is $28 million. Why in the hell would he walk away from that? You know, why would you want to give me $28 million? Hell, I don't know if I'd walk away from $28. You know, why is he going to walk away from $28
million? I'm trying to think of a good reason.
You know, I mean, it's not like somebody's going to throw more money than that on him at the free agent market. You know, he's not that player anymore. You know, he's coming off a down year. You know, I don't think he's quite the train wreck everybody seems to think he is. I mean, I'm hearing guys say in Oklahoma City, just pay him and cut him and, you know, be rid of him. And, I'm not buying that. I think there's a little left. He still averaged 16 points a game last year. You know, it's not like he stunk. You know, maybe with Paul George gone, there'll be more shots for him. He plays a little better. You know, instead of a big three, there's a big, you know, a big two plus the other guys. I mean, he's your guy. What do you think?
Yeah, but sadly, I mean, since 2013, he has been on the slope, the down slope. You know, but we haven't really seen his game, you know, really improve. Not even just a little bit.
You know, and I wonder if maybe he's back and he's gonna work, you know, working on it this off season.
Hey, could be, but you know, I think one of the issues these guys have is they're, how do you say this without being mean? They're stuck on who they used to be. And they don't try to incorporate new ways to, you know, become a, I don't want to say a new player, but play with the strength that they have now as opposed to what they had 10 years ago. You're never going to be that player again. You know, he's not even going to be that player he was in 2013.
Yeah, and, you know he is 4 now. You know, maybe he's just got to find a new way to work out.
Yeah, or not work out. you know, I saw Uncle Bob over the weekend, and, you know, he's all football, you know, football, football, football. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, for some reason, this man will tell you how he, you know, of course, would love to see the Bears in the Super Bowl, but loves to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl, you know, because who wouldn't want to see, you know, greatness at its, you know, its height or, you know, perform. But then he was complaining about Brady all this weekend and then telling me, you know, how he's missing, you know, not doing the optional practices and whatever. And finally, I just looked at him and I said, well, Bob, he's like 40-some years old. He's been playing football his entire life. What the hell does he need to go to practice for? Yeah, especially Tom Brady. I mean, you know, when it comes to Mello, I don't know if he needs practice. You know, but he needs to figure out how to work on his game because it's, you know, it's not he's not a shooting game. And, you know, I keep thinking, you know, LeBron wants to play with all his boys, but do you want to be in that situation and join a team with LeBron at the beginning of the season? Because remember what happened last season. Yeah. Everybody joined LeBron in Cleveland.
Practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
You know, but everybody joined LeBron in – yeah, I know. Joined LeBron in Cleveland. You know, and then everyone by All-Star break was gone. D Wade, D Rose. I don't know if there's any more D's.
Isaiah Thomas. You know. So.
Isaiah Thomas. So, I mean, the team that
yeah, you know,
together it before the break disappeared.
Yeah, well, you know, he put that team together, and then he complained about it. You know, well, we need this, and we need that, and we got to do this, and got to do that. And it's like, you know, you're the guy who did all this. You know, I mean, you're upset with it, but these were, you know, Wade was your boy. You brought him in. You know, these were the guys, you know, you shipped Andrew Wiggins off because you needed Kevin Love. And then, you know, all anybody's done is crap on Love since he got to Cleveland. It's always his fault, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, and obviously Carmelo's not a star anymore. He's not the number one guy on a team. But, you know, I don't think there's any issue with keeping him around and letting him be a, you know, a two or a three. I mean, if you can get 20, 25 points out of him a night, that's not too bad, right?
No, that's not bad at all. You just hope that he can hit those numbers.
Yeah, well, maybe he can get the job done this year. You know, I guess we'll have to wait and kind of see the slide. All right, well, we'll get to do the time to get out of here, but we'll be going tomorrow at 5:30 to do all of them for you. While we're going, well, you know, the sportsmedia.com, check out what's going on over there. Hit the link, follow it over to the Facebook page and give them a like. But remember that Twitter at SportsTimeRadio. It's not gaming on that Twitter as well if you want to do that. But anyway, it's always good things for coming out and listening live. It's awesome when you see it. But remember, the podcast is available for you. Anything you want to go over and listen to it at sportsmedia.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.